In Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 34, the scripture says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and your good blessings upon us. We thank you, Father, for each and every one that's come today to meet together to worship you. And we pray, Father, that you continue to bless, that we would worship you in a way that you'd be pleased, in a way that would glorify and magnify your name. And Lord, help us that we might see wondrous things out of your word, that we might praise you in. And Lord, as your people, we might be edified and strengthened and blessed together. Lord, we need your blessings upon us. We thank you for your blessings, and we desire more. And we pray, Father, that you would just help us and touch us in this way. For those that are here and not saved, Father, we pray that you might save them. Father, they might come to you in repentance and faith as you command. Lord, you'd make Jesus precious to the salvation of their souls. And Lord, that they'd hear and hearken and believe and trust in you, your word, and your Savior. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Here in this chapter, Solomon has written, and he's talking about wisdom. Verse number 1 of this chapter says, Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? And wisdom and understanding are personified in this chapter as being someone that we need to hearken to. And that word hearken is talking about hearing and doing, following in the words that are being spoken. Not just hearing and say, "Oh, those are wonderful words, and that's a great thought and a great thing." And yes, everybody that does that is just really, really well off. But that we take that and we bring that to ourselves. And this about wisdom, it's been misunderstood here about wisdom. Some think and have said that in this chapter, they take, and in a blasphemous way, they take wisdom and make wisdom greater than God. But we need to understand that in the Scriptures, there is no wisdom but that wisdom that comes from God. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, is a help and a blessing to all that'll hearken unto it. And so wisdom is here, and it is not the overlord of God, but wisdom is a characteristic of God, and He is all wise. And wisdom here speaks and says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me," that hears the Lord's wisdom, that hears the good word of God. That's what this is talking about. Watching daily at my gates to see if at wisdom's house there's anything that goes out or comes in that I need to change or that I need to adjust to or I need to find out about that I don't know. Waiting at the posts of my doors. Is the Lord going to speak some wisdom? Is he going to give something that will help me, that will encourage me, that will direct me in a right way? Blessed is the man that heareth the wisdom of God. It tells us in the New Testament that the Lord has been very gracious and great to us, to we that He saved. He's been all prudent, and He's been very wise in His working of salvation, how He's dealt with sinners' sins, and how He sent the Savior to be a man, and that He might be a suitable sacrifice for men, yet the representative of God, the Son of Man, yet the Son of God. The Lord is wise in all that. His salvation is great, and it's eternal. It's steadfast. It has no error, no blemish, no chink or gap that some accuser could get in there and take it and tear it apart, tear it down, and defy it. No, the salvation of the Lord is wondrous, and He is very wise, and blessed is the man that heareth His wisdom. When we talk about this word blessed, literally it means how happy, how joyous, how ecstatic with joy one is when we see this word blessed in the Scripture. I think it also gives, and we'll see this in coming passages, it gives a connotation an indication of being touched by our Lord, being touched by Him in some way. I'm not talking about the Lord taking His finger and physically touching you on the shoulder. I'm talking about this wisdom of God coming down and touching you in the heart, touching me in the heart, that we are convicted by what our Lord says and His truth and His wisdom. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You got to fear God. Got to reverence Him. Got to know, we must know that when God speaks, He means what He says and says what He means, and it's important. Not just some old gray-haired man up there in a rocking chair in heaven trying to hold things together, and we can discount what He says if it doesn't line up with what we want, or we can receive it if we think it's a blessing for us. God's not that way. God is as powerful and as great as He's ever been and always will be. And the fear of Him is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. In Proverbs 9:10, the Scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Knowing about God. What do you know about God? What do you and I know about God from His Word? Because that's where the knowledge of God is really declared. God is not, we had a brother that was with us some time ago, God is not what we think He is. God is who He is. And He tells us who He is. In Isaiah 56, blessed is the man. This message comes by request of some of the membership. I preached this message many years ago, and it was good to bring it back and to refresh it and take it and manipulate it and move it around a little bit. Not manipulating the Lord's Word, of course, but to take it and to line it up as the Lord would lead in our day. Listen to this, Isaiah 56, verse number 2. Blessed is the man that doeth this. All right, you want to be happy? You want to be joyous? You want to be touched by the Lord? Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man, even the children of men, that layeth hold on it, that he keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that's important, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. You know, in the book of the law, or the Ten Commandments, the summary, God's great summary of the law of the Lord, He says there in Exodus chapter 20, as He gives the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel, and He gives these things all moral. Okay, the Ten Commandments are all moral. They apply to every man, not just to Israel, because they were given to Israel. But He says here in the fourth commandment, the first four telling about our relationship between us and God, mankind and God, He says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Well, Brother Jim, I'm not a Jew. Well, tell you what, He's not just speaking to the Jews. And today, we observe that same pattern, that same directive from our Lord, that one day out of seven is His. And where the Lord gave and He rested on the seventh day, and we look to do God's creative creation for our Vacation Bible School this year, and how there is that day of rest in our Lord. He made a day of rest for us. When our Lord Jesus Christ came and lived and then gave His life on the cross of Calvary, was buried and rose again from the dead, He took that Sabbath of the seventh day, and He took it and moved it to the first day of the week, because He's preeminent in all things. The Lord is first, and He met with His church on that first day of the week, and that's the reason we're meeting here this morning. We at Olmsted Baptist Church here, we celebrate the resurrection and the appearance of our Lord to His church every Sunday, every Lord's Day. Or every Christian Sabbath day, if you will. Here, the Lord did that. And you know what? Blessed is the man that doeth this. Well, Brother Jim, on the Sunday, I really don't get much rest. Well, it's a busy day for us, and many of you travel a long way, but it is a change, isn't it? It is where we have, during the course of the week, we have all of the secular things, our work and everything, school, all those things that we need to do in life. We take all those things and lay them aside. We do have to put out some effort for it, but we have this day that's set apart for our Lord. I tell you what, don't take those things of the other 6 days and do them on this day. Make this the Lord's day. And you know what? Blessed is the man, happy, touched by God, is the one that does so. In Mark chapter 16, verse 9, the scripture says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And as we look in the Gospels, and we look that of the Apostle Paul also, they all write about this concerning the first Sabbath. When you see the first day of the week, in the Greek, it is we see in the original that it is called the first Sabbath. There was a difference about this first day of the week when Jesus appeared to his church. Keep it, and you'll be blessed. Honor the Lord on it, and you'll be blessed of him. Blessed is the man that doeth this. In Psalm chapter 1, let's take a look over here. Psalm 1. Here in Psalm 1, then verse number 1, the scripture says, "Blessed, happy, touched by the Lord is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." They don't listen to what they have to say and follow it after it. And they don't fall into this progression that happens that is so much in our world, has been in the world and is the way of man and is the wisdom of the world. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel," the words of the ungodly, "nor standeth in the way of sinners." They start off hearing, start standing around in the place of it. And what's it say? "And sitteth, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." There's a progression there, isn't there? There's a listening to the way of the world. There's a standing around in the broad way. And then you get so comfortable with it like Lot did, Brother Lot did. He sat in the gate. And there are those then that take the way of the world and bring it to heart and then stand around and sit around and scorn others that don't go after that way. You know what? Happy, touched by God is the man that doesn't go that way. In Psalm 112, we take a look over here. Psalm 112, I'm going to be busy this morning. In verse number 1, the scripture says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed, happy, touched by God is the man that feareth the Lord and that delighteth greatly in his commandments." What our Lord says means something. That our Lord is a great and mighty God. That our God is, "Oh, Brother Jim, I'm not saved. I don't even claim God." It doesn't matter. He's your God. He's your creator. Whether you deny him or receive him, he is yours. He's created us. We belong to him. And there's no denying him. Oh, one might deny him in this life. But I tell you what, at the end of this life, there won't be any denying him. There won't be any denying him at all. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and that delighteth greatly in his commandments." What the Lord says, that's what I want to do. What the Lord says, that's what I want to follow after. And you know what? That'll bring joy. That'll bring happiness. That'll bring gladness. That'll bring peace. You remember the Lord Jesus? You don't have to be around the Bible much at all to remember the words of the Lord Jesus during the days of his ministry. 3 years of ministry and so much written and so much that wasn't written about, but so much that's written where the Lord said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Amen? That blessed is the man that delighteth greatly in his commandments. So many times that our Lord said, "Hearken, hearken, hear it and obey it." So many times that the Lord said, "I say unto thee, I say unto thee." He's speaking to us out of his word. In Psalm 84, "Blessed is the man." We go over here and consider this. Psalm 84, in verse number 5, the scripture says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in the Lord, in whose heart are the ways of them. Blessed is the man, happy, touched by the Lord is the man whose strength is in the Lord. I need the Lord to help me. I need the Lord to guide me. I need the Lord to instruct me. I need the Lord to direct me. Sinner, you need the Lord to save you. I needed the Lord to save me. He's my strength. He's my life. My life comes to an end. His life is eternal and forevermore and blessed indeed. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them, whose strength is in thee. Paul, as he preached there on Mars Hill, he declared to those folks that were there about the unknown God. They had a shrine. They had an altar to the unknown God. In Acts 17:28, he declared unto them, "For in Him, that is God Almighty, we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also His offspring." God's created us and given us life. And you know what? We do well. We've been created to honor and glorify and praise the Lord. Sin has caused us to want to honor and glorify and praise self. But we have been created. Everyone in this world that's ever been, is now, and will be, has been created. Mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, have been created to honor and glorify God Almighty. And you know what? We'll be blessed when we look to Him for our strength, when we reverence Him, when we honor Him. And it says here, in whose heart are the ways of them. Them, this them that it's talking about, are talking about the tabernacles, or the courts, or the house of the Lord. You know, when a child of God gets their heart right, and the Lord has shown them about baptism and membership in one of His churches, with a right heart and fellowship with the Lord, a child of God just won't be satisfied until he's doing it, his or her part in the Lord's church. We need to obey our Lord. If the Lord has shown us these great and wondrous and mighty things, shall we take and separate ourselves from them? No. We won't be blessed if we do. And then in James chapter 1, we come over here to the New Testament, and we see here this. In James chapter 1, for the children of God, we see this admonition and this blessing in James chapter 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, to weather against it. Remember about the man that the Lord said there at the Sermon on the Mount? He said, the man that builds his house upon the rock, the rains will descend and the floods will come and the wind will blow against that house. And you know what? It'll stand because it's founded upon a rock. It's built upon a rock. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, James 1:12. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Here's a promise. We talked about promises last night. Blessed, happy is the man that endureth temptation, that looks to the Lord for his strength, that understands in and of himself he has no strength and he has no help. And it takes the Lord to give us grace and give us strength to endure through those storms of life, through the persecution because of the Word, to the fear the Lord will give help. And when we fear in this old man, in this old flesh, to be a good witness for Christ. Blessed, happy, touched by God is the man that endureth temptation, to come through on the other side of being tempted and be found obedient to our Lord. You know, that's the way to escape temptation, is to obey. I'm afraid. Forget about it. Forget about what this old body does. I'm scared. Forget about what this old body thinks. The new man loves the Lord and wants to obey the Lord and listen to the Lord, listen to His Word, listen to that which the new man pursues. And I'll tell you what, there'll be joy. There'll be happiness. There'll be the touch by our Lord. Remember this, that the Lord told us in Matthew 6:13, there on the Sermon on the Mount, as He taught about prayer, He says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And our Lord is our help, isn't it? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We need to remember that it is his kingdom. It is his power. It is his glory that we are to seek, and he will help us. And you know, when we endure that temptation, when our Lord does help us, it'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing. He says in verse 2 of this chapter in James 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, testings, trial. Count it all joy. How can we do that? Well, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We need patience so much. So much of the life of the child of God is waiting. We've got to wait. And we live in a society that doesn't want to wait for anything. I mean, we've got all kinds of conveniences that take the waiting out of everything. But our Lord says, wait. Wait on him. In patience, possess ye your souls, our Lord says in Luke 21:19. In patience, possess ye your souls. 1 Peter chapter 1, they were told about things to add to our faith. And the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 will be manifest. And we need to endure temptation. We need to be patient. We need to add those things to our faith that we might manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. In Psalm 94, blessed is the man. Psalm 94, we take a look over here. I tell you what, if there's a Bible there close, you need to read this for yourself. If you're old enough to read, you need to be following along in what the Scripture says for yourself, because this is God's Word from eternity to you. All right? Blessed, and in Psalm 94, verse number 12, the Scripture says here, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Wait a minute, I don't like getting a whipping. I tell you what, if you're not getting a whipping, if you're not getting chastisement, and again, the Scripture tells that chastisement can range all the way, for the child of God, the chastisement of the Lord can range all the way from the still, small voice to sickness, even death, where we dishonor our Lord and he takes us out of here. That's the range of chastisement. Everywhere, everything in between. He can touch our health. He can touch our wealth. He can touch our family. He can touch us. He can speak to us in that still, small voice. It's better to be chastised that way, isn't it? And listen to it and hearken to it. But sometimes the Lord's got to get rough and get our attention. Is the Lord chastising you? Does the Lord chastise you, child of God, when you get out of line? If the Lord doesn't chastise you when you get out of line, you're not the Lord's. All are partakers. Not some, not most, not many. But the Lord makes it very clear that all are partakers. Here the psalmist says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. It's a blessing to have a heavenly Father that'll get out the whipping stick when I need it, because I belong to him. That means it's another testimony that I'm his son, that he loves me. He chastens me. My daddy chastened me out of what he thought was right. And many times he did good, but there might have been a possibility he didn't do just right. But you know what? The Lord always does just right. He does always just right when he chastens. And he does it for our good. Blessed, happy is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest out of thy law. There's that law. There's that word of God. There's the commandments of the Lord. He teaches us. Job says in Job 5, it's said in the Scripture here in Job 5:17, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, the Scripture says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, because he does so to help us and to benefit us. And it's good when I get out of line, when you get out of line, that we've got a heavenly Father that'll come over there and correct us. It's a blessing. It's a blessing because we are his. In Psalm 65, we read over here, in Psalm 65, verse number 4, Psalm 65, verse number 4, blessed is the man, happy, touched by God, whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. It's a blessing from God Almighty to be convicted about the truth of God's Word. It's a blessing to be touched by the Lord and to be near and be around one of His New Testament Baptist churches, to hear the gospel and to hear that work of the Great Commission of the Lord. Why? That sinners might be reached and sinners might be saved. There are folks born in countries that never have the blessing of seeing a Bible, never have the blessing of hearing one of God's preachers or God's people and the witness of His Word. And you know what? Everybody in this house has. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have parents that make you go to church services. I don't want to go to church. Too bad, you're going. That's a blessing. That's a blessing from the Lord. And I tell you what, the Lord takes that and uses those things. What a grief it is to me, especially young children. Young children in our day, even in our county, in our community, little children, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years old, are not brought to the house of God, to one of the Lord's churches, to hear the Word of God and hear those foundational accounts. Not wives' tales, or not stories, okay? But the account of the Word of God. They're not brought to the Lord's house and they're not taught at home out of the Word of God to where they don't know how we were created. They don't know who Samson is. They don't know who Samuel is. They don't know who David is. They don't know who Daniel is. Do a survey with your children. Do a survey with your grandchildren. How much do they know about the Word of God? How much do they know about those foundational things that show that God is important? The faith of Daniel is a testimony to children that God can be trusted. But if they're devoid of that, if that's just a big empty hole that's there, it's sad, isn't it? It's sad. Oh, it's terrible and it's pitiful. May God help us in that. Folks don't understand how great the Lord is, how depraved we are naturally, and how deceitful sin is. We need the Lord, and we need His touch upon us. And we've got a business and a responsibility as people and as children to tell that. And happy indeed and touched by the Lord is the man whom the Lord chooses and causes to approach unto thee. You know, we maybe pray for the salvation of sinners, and we pray that the Lord will help and work. But if we don't do what we can to get them the Word and get them the seed and get them the knowledge, then we're really expecting a miracle, aren't we? If we don't engage them to what we desire for them. You hear? You hear what I'm saying? We need to pray, but we need to be active in it. Because see, indeed, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But you know what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you've got to be close to it before it can ever have an effect on you. And may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us all in that. In Psalm 34, verse number 8. Psalm 34, blessed is the man. Oh, taste and see, Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The psalmist declares this. David declares this. He says, taste of the Lord that He is good. I tell you what, you come and you take a look at the Lord. You come taste of Him. You see Him as He truly is. You see yourself as you truly are in your need. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him, has faith in the Lord. I tell you what, nothing make you happier. Nothing will have touched you greater than to taste and see that our Lord is good. He's good. He's a blessing. He's a help. He is life. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Trusteth in Him. Faith in our Lord. In Psalm 84, the psalmist declares, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. In Jeremiah 17:7, it's the word blessed there, but it's a different understanding, a different usage of the word. In Jeremiah 17:7, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. You know what that word blessed means there? It means to kneel down. I tell you what, kneeling down before the Lord and acknowledging Him and seeing Him for who He is and seeing the blessing and the salvation that is in Him, I tell you what, you can't be helped but be happy and be touched by the Lord. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Kneel down before the Lord is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Whose hope, my hope is in You, Lord. My hope is in You, not in me, not in anybody else, not of anything in this world, but my hope is in You. Tell you what, that'll make you happy. It'll make you joyous. It'll give you some peace and some help and some strength and some courage and some blessing indeed. The psalmist declares in Psalm 16, verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. I need Him to help me. I need Him to preserve me. The psalmist says in Psalm 25, verse 20, O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Lord, it's in You. Take me, use me, help me, and work in me that which You'd be pleased. In Psalm 31, verse number 1, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Psalm 56, 4, in God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Blessed is the man. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. In Psalm 71, verse 1, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. In Psalm 73, verse number 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all Thy works. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. In Psalm 32, we read over here in verse number 1 and verse number 2. Blessed, happy, rejoicing, touched by God. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered by the blood of the Lamb. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. This is your iniquity, but because of my Son and what He's done for you, I'm not going to put it on your account. I put it on His account. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Tell you what, this passage, the Lord used this to really get a hold of me some years ago, and an understanding about how this is with salvation by our Lord, and how it is with us naturally. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's what we need. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That's how good the forgiveness is, and that's how good the sin is covered in verse number 1. Because the Lord doesn't impute that sin to the saved sinner, the child of God, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That word guile, we don't use that word guile these days, but you know what that means? It means deceit. It means deception. This whole thing of salvation of the soul, rescued by the Lord, the blessings of God upon the sinner, it's not about us faking each other out. We can fake each other out. We can be deceitful one to another. One can put on airs about being saved. I used to do that before the Lord saved me. See, salvation by the Lord is not about us deceiving one another, and know well, good well, that we can't deceive God. Salvation of the Lord and being blessed by the Lord and the forgiveness of sins and the granting of eternal life is nothing but honesty and openness and the great thing that our Lord is very, very concerned about, truth. That's what makes religion so bad. Religion will take a sinner and swallow them up and take them right down to hell. Brother Mark's been telling about a lot of different groups that are religious. But you know what? You need your sins forgiven. You need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You need to repent of your sins and trust in Him fully and completely. No holds bars, no excuses, no ifs, ands, or buts. You need Christ. You need to be honest with yourself about what you are and what your need is. You need to be honest with God about what you are and what your need is. There's no deceit in it. The Lord's not talking about religion. He's talking about faith in Him. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Romans chapter 4, verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Our Lord Jesus, when He had by Himself purged our sins, you need that. That blood, that purging of the Lord, that work of the Lord to cover your sins. In Isaiah 1:18, our Lord says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. In conclusion, do you want to be this blessed man? Do you want to be this blessed man? I tell you, in every respect, come to Christ. Come to the Lord on His terms. Come to the Lord in His Word. Hearken unto what He says. To we that are saved, remember the psalm that we read in Psalm 112, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments. For we who are saved, there's no greater blessing other than being saved. But after being saved, there's no greater blessing for the child of God than to obey Him. There's blessing in obeying our Lord. To you that are here and not saved, we point you to Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We who are saved, that's what we say to you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. For you that are here and not saved, there's no greater blessing than for you than being saved by our Lord. You need Him.